the law firms that are growing, adapting, and scaling like we are. We like change. We find opportunity in change. And AI is a major change, just like the internet was 25 years ago.
We're here for another episode of the Injury Pros Podcast. And today I'm joined again by attorney Michael Sale, who is the managing partner at Cordisco and Sale, a personal injury law firm in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I'm excited, Mike, to talk about some different things today. And really what we want to discuss is how you determine what the baseline is for hiring not just a good attorney for an injury, but a great attorney for an injury. So, Mike, you know, a couple things. We made some notes before we talked here. And, you know, we talked about the things that are the must-haves for an attorney, right? They need to be a good attorney. They should have a proven track record. They should know how to win. They should have records of winning in trial. But there's a couple things that we talked about that kind of take you above and beyond what you would see in the traditional attorney. So the three things that we made notes about are here. One, an emotionally intelligent client communication system. Two, leveraging the best technology for case success. And then the third one that you provided me was building and growing a client-focused culture. So before we start talking about those, Mike, I just want to introduce you, give you a chance to talk about why those things are important.
Thanks, Alex. Good to be here today on a Friday, getting ready to finish the day and have a great weekend. But let's get to the podcast first. So what topic did you want to hit first?
So, Mike, let's start with communication. So every firm says they communicate, but I think you believe how you do it at Cordisco and Sale. There's a system that makes it be a real separator. So what does that entail? Well, how is your communication system at Cordisco and Sale a little different?
So first, communication is the biggest concern of clients. My partner, John Cordisco, and I sat on the disciplinary board hearing committees, and that's when lawyers in Pennsylvania get in trouble. The number one complaint is I haven't heard from my lawyer, or my lawyer doesn't call me back. So we take pride in that and actually be proactive in our communication here at Cordisco and Sale. So from the beginning, we have a client care specialist answer the phone who's trained in understanding the injuries, being very empathetic, knowing the pain points of our clients who are calling or the new people that are calling our firm. And she's trained just to answer those initial questions, get them signed up, and get them to a paralegal who's also trained and has a lot of experience in the, what we call the pre-litigation department. But what we do is we have a few forms of communication that we deal with our clients. One, we have a firm rule that all paralegals, once the case is signed up, have to be in real contact with our clients every 30 days. And that doesn't mean a text message or an email, unless the client requests a text message or email. It's they have to communicate with our client, and we keep statistics on that. You know, we have something called KPIs, key performance indicators, where they're tracked on how often they communicate with our clients. And that's something we look at as managers.
All right, so the communication system, it's built in, it's firm-wide. You mentioned having that first-line person, that client intake person. If you're a firm out there and you're looking for someone to handle that, like what are the key things you want to find in that person? What's important to get that role correct?
Well, you want somebody that knows about injury, that knows the pain points, that knows what they're, you know, the problems they're having at the time, how to address those issues, how to give them quick answers, not a lawyerly answer or a legal answer that binds anybody per se, but can comfort them to a degree that makes them feel like, you know, we're the best firm for them and their case. And that's the primary job of the person here, we call intake or person answering the phone here.
So let's talk about how communications change, right? So Cordisco and Sale, almost 10 years old, right? So from when you guys started to today, things are different, right? The propensity for people to want to text message, chat, communicate differently. So how has that kind of evolved in your firm? How do you kind of take advantage of those changes and stay modern in the way you're communicating with people?
What I saw about 10 years ago is we started to have chat on the website. This is for people that are trying to contact us. You know, not everybody is comfortable calling a law firm. It's kind of intimidated to a lot of people. So on our website and a lot of other lawyers, we all have chat now. So you could just chat with our firm, and then somebody from our firm will chat back. And then either there's a phone call to our firm from that person, or there's a chat transcript where we would call that person back. That's just one example. But through technology, we have the ability to text message now because a lot of our clients are busy professionals, or the new generation obviously just likes to talk with text. They don't like, you know, to have real phone call, you know, conversations, which there is so much we need to learn each month from our clients, who they're treating with, what their pains are, you know, how the crash or the impact has impacted their life. And this information has to be communicated to the attorney every month in our monthly meetings. So we have other forms of technology. We have a case management system where we have an app that resides in our client's phone, where we send out updates. Every time a phase changes in a case, there's an update. Every time we need to get something from the client, a photo or something, the client can upload the photo. And basically, there's a lot of outbound communications from our firm to our clients to keep them, you know, updated where they don't feel like they're in the dark. And this is in addition to our monthly phone call with our clients.
Yeah, so Mike, you segued perfectly into the second of the three key elements that we talked about, which was technology. That was the second one. So obviously on the communication side, using technology to communicate better. So what are you seeing within your law firm and some of the better law firms are with technology? What are they using? How are they improving their processes within their firms using technology, being more efficient, providing better client service? What tools are you seeing? What's on the horizon?
So, I mean, we all have case management systems now where we keep track of every metric in the case, how long a case is in existence, how many days it's been since we have a doctor's report or a note from the client. But the new thing in the law now is AI. Everyone talks about AI, right? So, you know, we have AI in our firm. We're using it for certain purposes, like analyzing medical records that may be like 1,000 pages long. AI can spit out a summary, you know, that may be 20 pages long, summarizing all those medical notes and reports, which basically would take a doctor or a nurse or a skilled attorney, you know, 15, 20 hours to do. We can have done it in an hour with AI. That's just one example. We're also evaluating AI throughout our firm from intake all the way through pre-litigation, all the way through litigation, because the AI systems are becoming so complex even within the last year. It's night and day compared to where it was a year ago.
Why do you think maybe a firm hasn't integrated AI into their practice? Is there limitations with getting people to adopt it, trusting it? Is it a training issue? Is it getting people across your whole law firm to use it consistently?
I think it's all that. I think it starts with the leaders in the firm. Are they willing to adapt to change? Lawyers historically are, you know, afraid of change, just like most people. The law firms that are growing, adapting, and scaling like we are, we like change. We find opportunity in change. And AI is a major change, just like the internet was, you know, 25 years ago. We, you know, people didn't have a website. Do we need a website, or we just need a pamphlet? Anyone who doesn't have a website now really doesn't exist in the legal world.
So talked about AI, talked about communication tools, other technology within your firm. How is technology helping you to help new clients in your intake department, in your marketing, bring on new clients? What tools are you using there?
Sure. So one of the things that we've adopted a few years ago is like a DocuSign product where, you know, we can have a text message go to a potential client with our fee agreement, which we have to have signed by the ethical rules. And we've been able to reduce that down to about one page where that gets text to our potential clients, and they can sign it with their finger, and it's a legal document that allow us to kind of start working on their case right away, which is important in a lot of cases, to get the head start, stop the insurance company's phone calls right away, and just basically peace of mind for the injured person that they have a quality legal team working behind them from the first phone call.
So it sounds like the tech is not only helping with your internal efficiencies of your firm, but it's also creating better experiences for your clients and, you know, ideally leading to better outcomes for your clients.
Yeah, no, like everybody's busy today. Even if they're not busy, they seem like they're busy, make themselves busy. So not only with the DocuSign product where they don't have to come into the office to sign everything or mail something by snail mail and mail back to us, which may take 6 or 7 days to get it back. You know, a lot of documents can now be signed electronically, like I said. There's also other technology we use, you know, which most people are familiar with the Zoom technology or conferencing, where, you know, busy people can be at work on their lunch break or wherever they are in life, and they can meet with their attorney or their paralegal, see each other, communicate with each other. They could be on different parts of the state. We take cases statewide and some cases in New Jersey where clients are an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours away, and we can jump on a call at any time and communicate just as perfectly as we're in the office, which provides convenience for the clients.
That's great, Mike. So I want to jump to the last of the three notes that you gave me about how you kind of separate yourself as a law firm. And, you know, kind of people might see this as a buzzword, but we're going to talk about culture. But, you know, we found it's one of the main reasons the client has a better experience. So tell us a little bit about the culture at Carrisco and Sale, how you've built it over the years, where it is now. And if a law firm thinks it's an area where they struggle, what they can do to get started to build a better culture within their firm.
Sure. Culture is kind of what drives you know, not many lawyers want to admit it. You know, if you have, you know, two people in your office, it's not that big of a deal. If you have 20 plus people like we have currently, having everyone work together, having everyone be happy where they work, basically gets everybody rowing in the same direction. And when that happens, the firm moves quicker. The firm moves more efficiently. The days go by faster. People are happy to help each other out. It's not just a bunch of people with different personalities. You know, we started with culture that maybe wasn't the best, I'll have to admit it. But through the years of hiring the right people, spending time with our employees, supporting them, empowering them, teaching them with various educational classes and lunch and learns, and all different things go into culture. So it's not just like a buzzword that people say. It's an ongoing thing that's living inside of your firm. And if you don't have a good culture, it's usually not good for the clients in the long run.
So if you're growing as a law firm, you're going maybe from being like a sole practitioner or a couple attorneys to growing a staff where you're trying to manage 10 plus people, and culture is kind of a necessity nowadays.
It is, especially if you want to grow. If you want to have a happy place to work, which we all want to do, we spend, you know, what, half our lives, a little less than half our lives at work. Everyone wants to take pride in their job. Everyone wants to do their best down inside. But if there's competing negativity and toxicity in the work environment, nobody's going to want to do the extra, especially for the clients. So, you know, we always have the theory, if you treat your employees well, they're going to treat your clients well. So that's what we try to practice here at Carrisco and Sale.
So Mike, we hit on these kind of three key elements of, you know, growing a law firm, being a better law firm, communication, tools to communicate better, implementing technology, looking at AI, how you can use those, how you continue to grow, and then obviously building a culture within your firm. Anything else you want to hit on that, you know, has really kind of helped to separate you as a firm and helped you grow beyond just what you would traditionally look at as a good attorney?
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is really put more cases into litigation. Why? Because we're finding that we get better values out of litigation. Not every client wants to be in litigation. You know, it's a stressful time. You know, our position is, our job is to get the most money we can for the client. And if the insurance companies are going to give us crappy offers, we need to do something about it. We're not going to settle for the first or second offer. We're going to settle for what we feel is right. And what insurance companies feel and what we feel are often not congruent. So not only going to look at the injuries like the insurance companies do, but we also have to look at the impact on life to the client. How has that client life changed? Tell the full picture, to get the full value as if we would tell it to a jury. Insurance company adjusters don't always get that full picture. And we could tell them about it, but it doesn't fit in their algorithm. A lot of times they're making offers based off computer programs, based off certain injuries and buzzwords they find in the medical records. They don't get the whole picture of how the client's life's been affected. So what we're doing is trying to move cases faster. And how do we do that? Well, and we're in the process of setting up a pre-litigation department where we can move clients' cases faster to get to full value. If they're not going to offer full value or full policy limits on the case, then we're going to move that case into litigation faster. And that gets faster justice, which is better for the client and shows that, you know, the insurance companies, we mean business. We're going to take this case. If you don't offer us a fair number, we're going to put it in litigation and we're going to fight that case all the way to the end. And our attorneys are now focusing on litigation rather than just all the pre-litigation work, and it allows us to get a better result overall for our client.
Mike, I appreciate you joining me on a Friday, rainy Friday, but hopefully the weather gets a little bit better. If you're out there listening, just to kind of summarize, if you're looking to separate your law firm, or if you've been injured and you're looking for the right attorney, a couple things that can separate.
quality of communication, their use of technology, and really understanding how their firm has built a culture. Thanks again for being here, Mike. Make sure you're subscribing where you like to listen to your podcasts, or you can watch The Injury Pros on YouTube, or go to our website, injurypros.com, to access more content.